show is produced with the support of VisitLux.com, the Bluegrass Hospitality Association, and the Clarion Hotel, welcoming visitors from all over the world to Lexington, Kentucky.
Wood Songs and the Wood Song Symbol are registered trademarks of Rachel Aubrey Music. Our show is distributed worldwide by the Wood Songs Radio Network and PRX. Thanks for listening. I'm John Hingsbergen.
For Michael Jonathan and the entire Wood Songs crew, this is Dorothy Edwards. We hope you'll join us again next week for the Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
It's a chip and dip. It's a chip and dip.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire, earth, air, and water combine shamanically to produce the vitalizing ether of the transformational psychobiosphere.
It's a chip and dip.
Yes, it's 1950s day all day for the next hour on the Cinematic Asylum here on CILU 102.7 FM in a thundery bay and around the thundery world on luradio.ca. I'm your quasi-iconic, non-laconic, possibly moronic, sub-supersonic, that is to say regularly sonic host, Layman Pascal. And folks, the 1950s was not just a 10-year period, but a kind of state of mind that started at least in the 40s, haunted the 60s, and still periodically pops up for us.
What is it? It's a chip and dip.
It's a chip and dip. It's a chip and dip. It's a chip and dip. It's a chip and dip.
Stab your fingers in your ears. Stab your fingers in your ears. Stab your fingers in your ears. Stab your fingers in your ears.
It's a chip and dip. You have your friends over. It's a chip and dip. It had sour cream with these little brown onions. It had sour cream. It's a chip and dip. We got two. 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 It's a chip and dip. It's a chip and dip. It's a chip and dip. It's a chip and dip.
It's a chip and dip. You have your friends over. It's a chip and dip. You have your friends over. It's a chip and dip. You have your friends over.
Oh! Okay, Gordon, don't worry, I'll get it. Oh!
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Dory.
Frank, could I borrow a cup of salsa?
A cup of what?
You know, salsa. The spicy dip.
Oh, I don't know that I do.
Salsa for the nachos?
Oh. No habla español.
It's all right, Fran. I'll see if the Van Keekens have any.
Okay. Poor dear. Ah, Gordon, please, jeez. Oh.
Fran, I was just thinking. I'm tired of mustard. Yeah. How about some spicy peanut sauce tonight on my burger? Thought it might perk it up a bit.
Peanut sauce for a burger?
Yes.
Or you mean peanut butter, silly? Sure.
No, I don't, Fran. Get with it. You know, every... Oh, I'd like to stay and fight, but the game's on.
Gordon, what? In the beginning, there was Miracle Whip. One kind of cheese, and fish came in sticks. Bread was white, and milk was homo. Our condiments were mustard, relish, and ketchup. Our spices were salt, pepper, and paprika. These were our sacraments. Garlic was ethnic, mysterious, something out of the Arabian Nights. And then one day it happened. Food exploded. People put down their Allen's apple juice and sheriff pudding, picked up a bowl of tofu, slathered it with President's Choice spicy Thai sauce, and washed it all down with a mango guava seltzer. You know, there are so many new products nowadays, and I confess, half of them I can't identify. I guess it's like that with people, too. You know, I can't tell a pita bread from a cactus pear or a Korean from a Filipino. I feel left behind. I do. I'm not modern. I'm embarrassed to buy water in a bottle unless it's for the iron. And I still believe, call me square, but I still believe that tangerines are just for Christmas. You know what? I think it all started with marble cheese. I do. Yep. Well, think about it, because right after they introduced that, they came up with salt and vinegar chips. Then it was sour cream and onion, homestyle, and before you knew it, chips were being sold in a tube. Where will it all end?
Hey, Mom.
Hello, Brian.
Hi. I won't be eating any dinner. I'm just going to go to my room and study.
Brian, your coat like that, really? Jeez, Brian! Get back in here! What are these in aid of?
Oh, those aren't mine. They're a friend's. I was holding them for a friend whose name I can't remember because he left the country suddenly. But I was just holding them as a favor, okay?
Brian, tell the truth.
Okay, Mom. Those were given to me by an astronaut. That's right, Mom. That is what astronauts eat when they are away on long space missions.
A meal and a pill.
Yes, exactly, Mom. Totally.
I knew this day was coming.
I know, Mom. And they call it progress,
yeah.
Mom.
Oh, well.
That was You Would Know, sampling AMC's Mad Men, Chip and Dip, followed by Kids in the Hall's Condiment Rant, and then a remix twist on the Mad Men theme. Let's review some of the top movies and TV shows that were hits in the 1950s, or at least got their start in that mythic decade. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Bonanza. Dragnet. Father Knows Best. Gunsmoke. Have Gun Will Travel. The Honeymooners. I Love Lucy. I Married Joan. Lassie. Leave It to Beaver. The Lone Ranger. Make Room for Daddy. The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, Rawhide, and The Twilight Zone. Or how about these? Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo, Sunset Boulevard, Rear Window, All About Eve, Bridge on the River Kwai, Seven Samurai, Tokyo Story, Singin' in the Rain, The Seventh Seal, Rebel Without a Cause, 12 Angry Men, A Streetcar Named Desire, Dial M for Murder, Hiroshima Mon Amour, The Wages of Fear, The Searchers, Touch of Evil, Orson Welles, that one, Rashomon, probably my favorite Orson Welles film, On the Waterfront, The Day the Earth Stood Still, North by Northwest. My God, most of these are Hitchcock, aren't they? Rio Bravo, Some Like It Hot, The 400 Blows, Anatomy of a Murder, The African Queen, Night of the Hunter. From Here to Eternity, to Eternity, to Eternity. Eternity. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Bonanza. Bonanza.
Dragnet. Dragnet.
Father Knows Best.
Father Knows
Gunsmoke.
Best.
Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke.
Have Gun Will Try.
Have Gun Will
The
Try.
Honeymooners.
The Honeymooners.
I Love Lucy.
I Love
I Married Joan.
I Married Joan.
Lassie.
Lassie.
Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to
The
Beaver.
Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger.
Make Room for Dad.
Make Room for Dad.
Many Loves of Dobie
Many
Gillis.
Loves of Dobie Gillis.
And the Twilight Zone.
And the Twilight.
How about these?
How about these?
Alfred Hitchcock's
Alfred Hitchcock's
Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard.
Rear Window.
Rear Window.
All About Eve.
All About Eve.
Bridge on the River.
Bridge on the River Kwai.
Seven Samurai.
Seven Samurai.
Tokyo Story.
Tokyo Story.
Singing in the
Singing in the
Seventh Seal.
Seventh Seal.
Rebel Without a Cause.
Rebel Without a Cause.
12 angry men.
A street
car, Dial M for
Dial M for
Hiroshima.
Wages of fear.
When Sir David Lynch and Mark Frost made their game-changing 1990s TV show Twin Peaks, it was set in the 90s, but it sure as hell looked like the 50s, right down to the cars, smiles, suits, and diners. People used to regular American television thought the original Twin Peaks was pretty effing weird, but 25 years later, people used to the original Twin Peaks thought the 18-hour nonlinear multiverse miniseries Season 3, featuring at least three versions of the main character, Twin Peaks The Return, was pretty effing weird. And in the middle, there was one episode, arguably one of the weirdest hours of television ever broadcast on American airwaves. If you haven't seen it, here's what happens in a nutshell. The double-crossing crook Ray takes the evil Cooper, whom I call the Bobbleganger, out into the wilderness and shoots him. But it doesn't take. A coterie of sooty woodsman-like beings descend semi-substantially from thin air and not only bring the body back to life, but make sure the demon Bob is properly installed within it. Ray flees, or goes mad, or whatever, and we sit through an interminable entire live performance of a Nine Inch Nails song, and then we suddenly cut to 1945. It's the moment of detonation of the first atomic bomb in Arizona. Slow motion zoom in set to classical music written to honor the victims of Hiroshima. We zoom all the way in. All the way. It's visually gorgeous. We go first into the mushroom cloud, then into the nuclear energy itself, and then we keep zooming into some abstract other realm like it's the end of 2001 A Space Odyssey, down this abstract tunnel into some deeper or subtler form of energy that has been disturbed by the massive explosion of atomic force. We pass through the vortex into another dimensional space beyond. We see the sooty woodsmen milling about mindlessly like insects, eventually discovering the passage ripped into reality by the explosion, and they all go inside the tunnel into our universe. But they're not alone. We also see Zhao Day, the semi-anthropomorphic mother of evil, hovering in dark space. She extrudes a crystalline vomit stream packed with tiny eggs. A sphere containing the demon Bob appears to hitch a ride on this crystalline vomit stream. This triggers warning bells in the mauve dimension, where presumably benevolent overseers try to track the situation, and they create a golden orb containing one version of Laura Palmer. This is Bob bait. They send it into one of the Earths in the multiverse, and then we cut to the 1950s. One of these hyperdimensional eggs hatches into a kind of frog locust and begins roaming the desert. Sooty woodsmen descend again from the air into a small town wreaking havoc. One of them takes over the local radio station and utters a creepy incantation, which puts the town to sleep, allowing the locust frog to crawl into a sleeping girl's mouth and presumably impregnate her with evil as music comes back onto the radio. So from Twin Peaks The Return, partially set in the 1950s, here's the song that haunted that radio night, My Prayer by the Platters.
When the twilight is gone, and no songbirds are singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart. And here in my heart you will stay while I pray. My prayer is to linger with you at the end of the day, in a dream that's divine. My prayer is a rapture in blue, with the world far away and your lips close to mine.
Longing
to know. May they still be the same for as long as we live.
This is the water, and this is the well. Drink full and descend.
This is the water.
The horse is the well.
White of the eyes,
drink full
and dark
and
within.
Descend. The horse is the white of the eyes and
you just
dark
heard
within.
My prayer by the platters from episode 8 of Twin Peaks The Return, and then me saying the creepy poem from that same 1950s episode, and then me saying it slightly overlaid and offset. If you've just tuned in, it's 1950s Day all day for an hour on the Cinematic Asylum on CILU 102.7 FM. I'm Layman Pascal, but as they say, you are not Adrian Clarkson. The 1950s seems to glow in some people's cultural imagination, if that's a thing, as if it were the golden age from which humanity has fallen because we failed to properly honor the gods. Lots of people alive today, apparently, if you're listening to this live and not digging it up in a time capsule after the event occurs, wish to make America great again. And whatever your feelings on this subject, there is a recurrent sense that they mean to make it great again like it was in the 1950s and not as it became in the 1960s. Let's get back to those good old days when men were men, women were women, sometimes men were women, but they didn't make a big thing about it. News was reliable, scientific optimism and national pride walked hand in hand, or better, drove around in a bright turquoise car with tail fins that parked in a two-car garage on the street of the American dream. We were harnessing the atom and still going to church. The world loved us for trouncing Nazis. We could smoke cigarettes with a good conscience, and time-saving home appliances just kept getting better and better. Good times. The good old days. Before the fall, when we lived in the Garden of Eden, when we lived in the golden age of Athens, when we lived in Atlantis before the flood. What the heck is it with all these retroactive paradises? You tell me. Are we imagining the possible future but projecting it into the past so as to convince our inherited instincts that it is a real possibility? Are we undermining the very idea of progress by projecting our emotional vision of a better world into a place that it did not really exist and cannot ever be reached again? Worse, are we acting as nihilistic culturopathic agents trying to actively disrupt all cultural improvement efforts by aiming them toward the content of a previous epoch rather than at the efforts that produce the gains of that epoch and could be used again to produce the gains of an entirely different flavor within our own epoch? You get what I'm saying. Why does a certain species of left-leaning traditionalist that we persist in calling conservative want to intervene in everyone's lives and impose a transformational, top-down social reorganization based on the fantasy of a lost golden age? If you know the answer, call in during the next song. The number is 555-473-218-279, Ocho Nuevo Entiende Garfunkel 69-Washel-Minkle, Orthothrob Menlix Inc. Uh-oh, looks like that might have been an interlink spliced into the teleprompter that I read by mistake. That's a little odd. If I'm improvising this or reading it, how on earth could such a mistake have been made? It's got to be intentional, right? Right? And celebrating the culturally received Edenic status of the 1950s, here's Fats Domino with a song I couldn't get enough of when I was 9 years old, and the source of the title of the Steve Martin Martin Short Witness Protection Program mafia comedy movie, My Blue Heaven.
When Wilpa will call, and even in the night, I hurry to my blue heaven. You turn to the right, you find a little bright light that leads you to my blue heaven. You find a cozy place by your place, cozy room
dances with the rose and blue. Yes, Molly and me, and baby makes three. We happy in mind, please, yeah, boy.
Sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Foundry at 242 Red River Road, open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday to Saturday, featuring folk in Mondays, karaoke Tuesdays, trivia Wednesdays, open stage Thursdays, and live music weekends. Find out more at thefoundrypub.com. The Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Log on to tbso.ca or call 626-TBSO for details on the 2019-2020 season and how to get tickets. The Lakehead University Student Union, promoting action, advocacy, and service by bringing you student centers. Learn more by visiting their office in the tunnels of the Student Center or by logging on to lusu.ca.
tailor. So was those new blue jeans. My sweetheart, he's a drunkard. Lord God, he drinks down in New Orleans. He fills his glasses to the brim, passes them around. The only pleasure that he gets out of life is a hobo from town to town.
Mitt Buckner, Woody Guthrie. Mitt Buckner, Woody Guthrie. Mitt Buckner, Woody Guthrie. Welcome back to CILU 102.7 FM. I'm your ghost, Layman Pascal, on 1950s Day All Day for an hour. You know, I was a little bit cheerfully sarcastic about the 1950s as a golden age, but honestly, I'm quite divided about the march of progress and being on the right side of history. I've no doubt that our ancestors were both technologically and sociologically primitive, right back to the chimpanzees. We were smelly, violent, warmongering, status-obsessed, obscene hominids who trampled across the planet, leaving murder, rape, environmental carnage, thoughtless dogma, and institutionalized oppression in our wake until we began a slow crawl through towards sensitivity, depth, sanitation, abundance, true knowledge, and emotional courage. And still, it's only beginning to emerge. I admit it, I'm a spiritual evolutionary, but still, you've got to wonder, don't you? Could we build pyramids today? Could our short-term, immature, overloaded, unnatural civilization with its onslaught of corrupt throwaway products even conceive of building structures to last thousands of years and serve as simultaneously sacred monuments covering artistic, religious, mathematical, astronomical, geometric, calendrical, and architectural dimensions of our entire culture? Could any of us build a Stonehenge or a Sphinx? Do we have the kind of creative genius that it takes to invent language or discover irrigation, to create mathematics seemingly out of nowhere? Some people say our Paleolithic ancestors not only lived in conditions more natural to the human body, but they were also taller, stronger, faster, with bigger brains and more free time. Christ almighty! How do the Buddhas of the Axial Age stand in relationship to the prehistorical bodhisattvas who invented the unrecorded esoteric practices from which all sacred developmental lineages descend? What kind of a genius is Shakespeare compared to the people who invented the alphabet itself? Aren't we just coasting on and using up and probably desecrating the high-level gloriousness of the ancestors? Are we, in fact, devolving? Tough question. It could be both. Fans of the very arcane diagrams I post in integral community discussion forums will know that I do try to combine both. I have a very convenient graph of how, despite the progress of developmental stages in individual and cultural maturation, there's also a pattern of decline. Although each new phase has new possibilities and greater overall potential, the odds of reaching that potential may be decreasing. Surely it's easier to integrate 10 cultural ideas than 1,000, and easier to integrate 1,000 than billions. Today, we possibly have far less chance of being able to assimilate current knowledge than did the megalithic sailor civilization of 12,000 years ago. Nietzsche said we're shadows of the human beings of the Renaissance who were shadows of the human beings of antiquity. Logically, it's quite possible for our potential to grow, our vistas to expand, our worldview and values to leap upward, while our capacity to adequately embody those values drops precipitously, our ability to harmoniously organize our cosmos declines, and our personal experience of vistas contracts, and maybe our relative ability to enact our potentials plummets precipitously like a plummeting plum bob or a particularly polypound plum, if that's a thing. What do you think? Are we more evolved than our most refined ancestors, or were the best of them, compared with the average of us, a heck of a lot more delicious?
It's a cozy table, isn't it?
And champagne, my dear.
delicious.
You like it?
Delicious.
I like it too. Yes, I do like it.
Delicious.
Yes, it is. You want some more?
Delicious.
I knew you'd like it. You always.
Delicious.
Oh, have some more. Get the waiter and hombre.
Delicious.
Put on the paper hat. Oh, get out the lamp. I even like the cork. Waiter, waiter, more. Oh, keep pouring. Oh, this is every night, New Year's Eve. You got it. Every night we're gonna do this. I don't care. Lose the job, everything. What are you gonna do? Scabadoo.
The people too, mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody doing the mess around. Everybody was juiced. You can bet your soul. They did the boogie woogie with a study roll. They mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody doing the mess around. Now, when I say stop, don't you move a peg. When I say go, just shake your leg can do the mess around. I declare, do the mess around. Yeah, do the mess around. Everybody's doing the mess around. Now let me have it there, boy.
Jim Bacchus, Delicious, Ray Charles, Mess Around. Why do we, some of us, maybe most of us, think of the 1950s as having a charming, playful halo of beatific utopia? Sure, we know there's a dark side, things that needed to be corrected, imperfect social relations and technological limitations, but maybe a golden age isn't and can't be defined by the absence of sinister elements in the society, but rather by the presence of a certain harmony of prominent social functions, perhaps even in a way that assimilates and gives unique style to whatever oppressions, illnesses, and limits are operating in that time and place. What is it that makes a Renaissance? Not just the late 15th century Italian Renaissance, but maybe part of the 1950s and maybe part of the 1960s. Maybe the rise of Augustus and Christ in Rome, and maybe Emperor Qin uniting the warring states into a single China, and maybe that moment when the Mesoamericans really got their temple building, math, and astronomy together, and maybe that moment when the Sphinx was created thousands of years before the pyramids, apparently in pre-Sand Egypt. You know what I mean. A Renaissance doesn't mean these societies are perfect or that we should want to revert to their social procedures and value standards. Of course not. But maybe they did something with the pieces of the understanding that they had that should serve as a model for us. Maybe they took their social practices, races, genders, arts, technologies, mystical experiences, poetry, math, astronomy, and put them together in a way that created more than the sum of its parts. Maybe there are moments when any culture brings its good and its evil, its linear and non-linear, its knowledge and its mysteries, all the genres at its disposal, and works them together artistically into a unique style all of its own that leaves its mark on history and represents the best they could do at the time. Maybe not everyone does the best they could do at the time, though. Maybe that's why we recall certain little pockets of history as kind of glowing cartoonishly, like the golden aura around McDonald's French fries. Surplus value, as the psychological Marxists call it. Maybe, 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 maybe. Maybe it's Maybelline, and if a perfect stranger suddenly gives you flowers, well, that's impulse.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed. The flying saucers are real.
Real, well, I feel what my heart can't conceal.
That was the Clatters recording. Too real. We switch you now to our on-the-spot reporter downtown.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown.
Take it away, John Cameron Cameron.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Pardon me, madam. Would you tell our audience what would you do if the saucer were to land? Thank you. And now the thin gentleman there.
What I'm gonna do is hard to tell.
The gentleman with the guitar. What would you do, sir?
Just take a walk down the street.
Thank you. I return you now.
This is Grant, your outer space disc jockey, with a request for Earth.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel.
That was the Pelican's outer space recording Earth. I've just been handed a bulletin. The flying saucer has just landed. We switch you again downtown.
Here we are again. We have with us Professor Sir Cedric Fentingmold of the British Institute. And the professor is approaching the saucer to see if there's possibly any sign of life aboard.
Well, I'm sure something. Are you there?
I hear you knocking. But you can't come in.
That was Laughing Lewis's record. Knocking.
This is John Cameron Cameron on the spot. And now I believe we're about to hear the words of the first spaceman ever to land on Earth.
La, ba, boom, ba, la, ba, boom.
And now, here are the bowl scores.
4-3, 6-2, and 8-1.
The impact of seeing the first spaceman has this reporter reeling.
Here I go reeling.
That was the Clatters again with their big one. Oh!
This is John Cameron Cameron again downtown. The spaceman has returned to his ship and is taking off. We return you now to our studios.
The flying saucer has gone. There is no threat of an invasion. However, the flying saucers are still around. We are not going to interrupt this record. Yes, we are. The flying saucer has landed again. Washington, the Secretary of Defense has just said,
ain't that a shame?
That was Skinny Dynamo's record. That's a shame.
This is John Cameron Cameron Part 2. Gathered around me are several of the spacemen. Tell us, have you come to conquer the world? And now would you repeat that in English?
Don't want the world to have and hold.
Hey, why don't you go back where you came from?
Don't be angry and drive me away.
We return you now to our studios.
Here is a news item from Washington. The president has just issued a statement to the spacemen, and we quote,
you can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes.
That was Pa Gherkin's record, Shoes. We switch you again downtown.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Professor Sir Cedric of the British Institute, tell us, how were the saucers able to land?
Well, you see,
the motor cooled down, the heat went down.
That was Huckleberry's recording, The Motor Cooled Down.
This is John Cameron Cameron again. I believe the spaceman has a final parting word.
See you later, alligator.
We return you now to our studios.
The spacemen have gone again, but look to the skies. The saucers will always be there.
Always be there.
Goodbye, Earth people.
Be there. I got my load. Conductor done hollered all aboard. Take my seat railway right and watch this train move down the track. Times I once have had. Soul got happy, heart got glad. about the way you love me too. You can bet your life I'm coming home to you.
I've been Lehman Pascal, and you've been listening to the All 1950s All Day for an hour of the Cinematic Asylum on CILU 102.7 FM. I appreciate your ears, and I hope you have a very strange...
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CIOU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Signal Resources Limited, Thunder Bay's locally owned and operated audio-visual professionals. Contact them about your next multimedia event or installation at 807-475-9341 or at signalresources.com. The Thunder Bay Community Auditorium. Find them at tbca.com to purchase tickets and find out all of the details on their upcoming events. Vox Popular Media Arts Festival, located inside Trinity Hall at 310 Park Avenue. Join the fun every September for the annual Media Arts Fest, entering its 16th year in 2020.